This week's parsha is a parshas on Noach. This is the parsha of the animals. If you go to probably any school tomorrow, any yeshiva day school, you'll probably will see lots of chickens and llamas and goats and other types of animals outside the school as or the kids are brought to the zoo on this particular weekend. In honor of Parshas Noach, there's lots of discussions of animals in the Parsha. Of course, all the animals entering into the ark, into the Teva. And then, of course, the animals play a prominent role at the end of the flood with the different birds, with the raven and the dove. And so, again, there's a lot of focus on animals. And it's interesting, I tell my students, you know, this year in school, I'm teaching Bava Kamma. The opening Mishnah of Bava Kamma talks about the four different types of damages, avos nezikin, that the Torah itself discusses, and a lot of them have to do with animals. And there's the category of shor, of an ox, and what happens if an ox gores, what happens if an ox tramples something, steps on something, eats something. And I remind the students that you know, today people may have pets, you know, you might have a dog, a cat, a goldfish. But back in the day, you know, people, their existence was intermingled with animals, right? It was not, very common. You owned a cow, you owned some sheep and some goats and some chickens, because that they worked for you. They supplied your food, your milk, your eggs, meat, and they played a prominent role in our lives. For many people, you know, most animals you go to nowadays, it's on a farm or you go to the zoo, but we don't have the same coexistence that people used to have with animals. So Parshas Noach, I believe, in many ways really highlights that coexistence, that dependency. Because at the end of the day, I think you can ask, there's a very basic, you know, question. The most important question to ask, and we've discussed this in the past, I'm not going to discuss it really now. The most important question, I believe, in Parshas Noach is, why does God destroy the world? Right? I think that's the most important conversation to have. It's an important conversation to have in Parshas Noach, because what are the lessons for us? Right? What is the takeaway? God says he won't destroy the world again. The rainbow is a sign, is a warning, but really we may be deserving of the world being destroyed, and therefore we need to know, well, what was the reasons why God destroyed the world? And so once you know that, then the question is that, well, why were the animals destroyed? Right? You know why? You know, as he spends 120 years on Noah building this teva, and the reason why he needs to spend presumably so long to build this ark is because it's not for him and his family. You know, for that, he could just, you know, build a rowboat, you know, or build some small, speedboat or a small yacht, you know, that they can cruise the earth for about a year. But such a massive structure, he needed that to save the animals. And so why was it necessary? You know, why did God, if God wanted to destroy mankind, he didn't necessarily have to do it with a flood, you know, because the flood killed everything. He could have, as we know from our own recent existence, you know, if God wanted to kill off human beings, could have caused some pandemic, you know, that would have just a disease that would have only affected humans and not animals. And just humans would die. He could have given Noah the secret potion, the booster shot that could have only made like 8 doses, just enough for Noah, his wife, his 3 kids, and the daughters-in-law, and that would have been it. You know, they would have been saved, and the animals would just continue to do their thing. But like for some reason, there's like this major emphasis that the animals also had to die. Right, so the animals also somehow were deserving of death, and the Mefarshim discussed this. This is a question: like why were the animals killed? Because at the end of the day, we generally don't assume that animals have bechira, have choice. Animals just act on instinct, and therefore, while human beings, we can say that they corrupted their ways. That they, and as we saw at the end of last week's parsha, again, some of the reasons why God destroys the all mankind is because people were not respecting one another. They were stealing, wives and women, and Hamas, just mentioned this week's parsha, of violence and a total breakdown of society. Okay, that's with human beings, but what about the animals? And why are the animals destroyed? So there's Chazal, rabbis suggest, at least there's one school of thought, and Rashi quotes this in this week's beginning of this week's parsha. And I want to share with you a moment, it's sort of a side point, but it's a very fascinating nitziv in this week's parsha, where he talks about the dinosaurs, about digging up bones. And he has a very interesting theory in connection to animals in this week's parsha. Before we get to that, so Rashi, the pasuk says the following, at the very beginning of the parsha, the pasuk says, "Vayar lakim esaretz," God sees the land, "vihine nishchasa," and it had become corrupted, "ki hishchis kol basar esta kol aretz," because all basar, all flesh, in some way corrupted itself on the earth. So it says kol basar, all flesh. It doesn't say kol adam, all people. It says kol basar, all flesh. So our rabbis, again, Rashi quotes this, the following. It's a Gemara in Meseches Sanhedrin and Daf Kuf Chesam Na'av. It's also Medrash Tanchuma. It's also found in the Bereishis Rabbah. So this is a prominent school of thought within Chazal. Afilu behema chayev of nizkakim she'ena minam. What was the problem here? Even the animals. It wasn't only the human beings, but the animals as well. They also corrupted their ways. In what sense? In the sense that they began to fornicate, to have relations with other types of species. That God envisioned that a cow would breed with a cow and a cow would not breed with a zebra. Whatever exactly this means. And for some reason, the animal species began to, for some reason, not do what was initially intended. Began to act in this corrupt way, to transform itself, to change nature, which was not God's wishes, and therefore it was deserving of destruction. Now, okay, you have to figure out what exactly that means and what is, the takeaway of that, because it seems that from the perspective of the Torah, the major problem with the human beings was the Hamas, was the violence, right? That's ultimately, right, what the pasuk says, Vatimalei ha'aretz Hamas, that the earth was filled with injustice, and it seems like that's how we treat one another. So, what exactly is the... is this like a separate infraction that our rabbis are suggesting? It's because what's troubling the rabbis, I think, is that, again, what did the animals do that was wrong, that they should be destroyed? And we're going to say that they were violent with one another. Is that, they were boxing matches and, wrestling with each other? Like, what were they doing? And so our rabbis suggest, and that maybe why water destroyed them is that, maybe in terms of, some of the suggest that it had to do something with water, that the animals themselves, in terms of procreation, in terms of creating, within the womb, the water within the womb of creating these unnatural species, that was the problem. That was the issue with the animals. The animals themselves had to be obliterated as a result. The Ramban says something very different. The Ramban doesn't buy that. The Ramban has a lot of trouble with that. That was the issue with the animals. So the Ramban says, what's pshat? What's the simple explanation here? Like, why are the animals destroyed? So he says the following. He says, it can't be, lomipnei kulong, it can't be that all of them were doing this, that all of them were engaged in this perverse behavior. Rather, what is the issue? Siper onish adam levado. At the end of the day, the problem were human beings. Right? Human beings were doing things that were wrong. Human beings were engaged in violence and not respecting one another. And he says that's when it says kol basar. It means kol ha'adam. It doesn't mean all living beings. It means all. It's an expression, kol basar, all flesh, is a reference to all humans. And he gives other psukim in the Torah or in Tanakh that seem to suggest that that's a way of understanding the expression kol basar. And so, and if that's the case, he doesn't go to this extent, but I think that's where this would lead us to. So if the animals didn't do anything wrong, so why are they destroyed? So I think the answer is because that ultimately the purpose of animals is for humans, right? That God placed animals on this world for humans' benefit. And if humans are going to be destroyed, there's no need for the animals. Or it's for the humans to understand that everything is that I gave you this beautiful earth that provided everything for you, including trees and grass and vegetables and fruits and animals to serve you. And now, because all the wrong that you did, everything is going to be destroyed. Right? Everything is going to be compromised as a result of this flood. So according to this approach, the animals didn't do anything wrong, but they were, but since there's not going to be any humans are being punished, so therefore everything that was made in this world for humans was going to be destroyed along with them. And I think the support that this may be a good explanation is that's why the animals are saved. Why are two of each kind or seven, the kosher of each are saved? Because ultimately, humanity is going to be rebuilt, started again through Noah and his family, and they're going to need the animals. Right? They're once again going to need the animals for food and to work the land, and therefore they're going to have to recreate this world using everything that God created initially in this world. So therefore, you have to save the animals, but the majority of the animals are going to be destroyed along with everything else. As a punishment to human beings, Ramban also suggests at the end that it could be maybe the animals were in violence, that maybe the animals themselves, somehow there was just became the culture of the world, that everyone was acting in this manner towards one another, of lack of respect, and that leads to the fascinating Nitziv. Nitziv lived in the 1800s. And so Nitziv is living in a time and age, I guess, where archaeology is beginning and the study in universities of archaeology. And he's well aware that there's all these bones that are buried deep underground and that many of them are very exotic animals that don't exist today. And therefore, in this week's Parsha, right, the famous question the kids always are bothered by, what's up with the dinosaurs? Right? And We know that dinosaurs are dated to live, hundreds of thousands of years ago. And we have a tradition that the world is only 5,783 years old. And therefore, how do you put that all together? So there's many answers, of course, to that question. The famous answers to that question are that, I think, the very basic answer to the question is that we begin counting from Adam HaRishon. It doesn't mean that the earth itself, and the whole period of creation didn't last millions of years, and that the Torah itself is not necessarily describing how the world was actually created. And from a scientific perspective, it's just presenting creation in the sense that that God is the creator, that God created the world for human beings, and everything in this world is for us. But the Torah is not telling us about how the earth formed. The earth could have formed through a big bang. It could have formed through billions of years and several billions of years of development, and different species came and went. But nonetheless, the Nitziv is fascinated by what's up with the dinosaurs, and he thinks there's probably some connection to the flood. So this Nitziv appears at the end of the Torah's description of the flood, where the Torah tells us the following. Pasuk says, this is in Perek Zion, Pasuk Chof Gimel. But what happened as a result of the flood? Right, so unfortunately, anyone who's ever had a flood in their house, you've seen on the news, what happened not that long ago in the western part of Florida, it destroys everything. Right, the water is just—it's so devastating. It literally, the power of the water just totally annihilates everything that it touches, and everything has to be redone, and it's horrible. And so that's the pasuk tells us that's happened to the earth with the flood. But Yamach es kol hayakum asher al pnei adama, that God blotted out through this flood that covered the entire earth. And we're told earlier that the water were like 15 amos above the tallest mountains, that the entire earth was totally devastated. The Adam ad behema, from man to animal, ad remes ad of hashemayim, from creeping, crawling creatures and the birds, by machua mina aretz, and they all were destroyed from the earth. By sheir achnoch vasish itova teva, the only thing that remained was Noach and his family. And everything else was totally ruined and totally destroyed. You can always imagine, like, what did Noach see when he left the ark? Right? It's fast. Some of the Forshim point out that God had to instruct Moshe to Noach to leave the ark. Why does he instruct Noach? Wouldn't Noach want to run out of the ark when the flood was over? The answer is no. He was petrified. Right? What would he? What would be there? Right, this total devastation, and even when the olive branch is brought back by the Yonah, by the dove, so was that an olive branch that was sort of just lying on the ground and that was sort of had survived the deluge? What was there? It was like total devastation, total destruction. That's what this pasuk described. Yamach kol yakum, everything on above the earth was totally destroyed, totally wiped out. So on that pasuk, here's the fascinating tip. He says the following: Dafka elu shahayu munachem apnei adama, that what was destroyed, what was totally decimated, that which was on the ha'adama, right, that which was on the earth. Ava, however, nishtairu kama gufo shenafu aleim afar harbe aide shataf amayim. But what remained? Things underground. There's some things were buried, right? The human beings that died and the animals, like some of those things got buried underground. Everything else above ground was totally decimated. It could have been there was all these, who knows what types of diseases and bacteria, like it all got destroyed. But some things were preserved underground. In the Sharu Gufos Kamim, some bodies completely intact were preserved underground. The Hain Hine Atzamos, and this is again just fascinating. Think of the Tziv living in the mid to late 1800s. He says these are the bones Shumutsoyim that are found by the Chofrei Aretz. Who are the Chofrei Aretz? The diggers of the earth. Who are the diggers of the earth? The archaeologists. These are the archaeologists who are digging up. Umotsin Atzamos. They're finding bones. Rebrio Shalom Nimso Atomil. Bones from animals that we've never seen in our lifetime. It's an amazing thing, right? He's probably reading the newspaper in the mid-1800s, and they're discovering dinosaur bones. They're like, whoa, we never seen any of these things before. So he's like, where do these things come from? Again, if you're living in the 1800s, what is this? So some say, this is very interesting, right, there is one school of thought that, in Jewish thought, that God maybe initially created many different worlds. He kept on creating them and destroying them, and so maybe the dinosaur bones are from like these earlier creations. But Netziv doesn't like that. He doesn't like that approach. He gives a couple of reasons why he's not crazy about that. So he thinks that these are just creatures that lived prior to the flood, and that these creatures, for whatever reason, were not deserving of being preserved. Or that, like the Ramban, I think it's going back to Ramban, said that maybe, and I don't know, I never studied a lot about dinosaurs, so I don't know, if this is true or not about them, but in the movies, they say some of these things about, the violence, the animals themselves being violent. I don't know, Tyrannosaurus Rex or whatever the animal is, whatever it is, some of those animals are like those animals were not deserving of remaining. And so, you know, whether it was a flood or whether it was a meteor that came down from the heavens. By the way, I heard in the news today, one of the late in their latest research, this I think is fascinating, just connecting it to the Parshas Noach, that they said, you know, this current science, right, believes that the dinosaurs, that their existence came to an end when some meteor crashed into the earth. So that's well known, right? That's been a theory for a very long time. But again, I just heard this on the radio today that they currently believe that when that meteor, that giant, like, you know, hover a couple mile long, you know, huge meteor crashed down at the earth, apparently it created a massive tsunami. This is fascinating. That literally covered the earth. That was on the news today. I forget who said that, but this wasn't on the National Enquirer. This is like in the regular NBC News or something. This was on CBS News reported this today. It created a tidal wave that almost the entire earth was covered with this water as a result of this meteor crashing on the earth, which is interesting, which is fascinating. And again, so these animals were destroyed. Again, and I'm just suggesting, I don't know if this or not, maybe some animals were not deserving of continuing afterwards. So maybe only the animals that God saved and rescued would be the ones that would be critical for the earth to continue to exist. Those animals that need necessary to bring a sacrifices, those animals necessary to serve human beings, you know, for food and for work, and for those animals that are critical for the, for the general, ecological system of the earth, and for the way, everything works, nature, and for creating, for everything that's necessary for, for the earth to function and operate properly, that each animal, plays its role and is there for a reason. Right? The Gemara says even the ant has a purpose. The fly, everything has a purpose. Maybe those animals that maybe for every reason God decided is not necessary, he got rid of them, right? Whether they corrupted their ways or not, then maybe they're just not necessary for human beings. And I'll end off with this. I think, and that's the second major takeaway of the parsha, right? In other words, this animal thing is all cute, right? The animals, but I'm suggesting that the animals are destroyed because ultimately the purpose of the earth is for human beings, and what's most important when we study Parshas Noach is what did mankind do deserving of this total destruction. Because that's the takeaway. That's the lesson that we need to know. And then lesson number two is that, okay, now once the flood is over and Noach and the family can emerge from the ark, from the Teva, together with the animals, what type of world are we supposed to recreate? Right? What is our job now in this world? Why has God put it here? Why has God given us another chance? And this is a question that Noah had to address and figure out. This is a question that all humanity continues to need to figure out. And this is a question for us as yechidim, as individuals, that every morning when we wake up and we say, Moda Ani, we thank God for giving us another day. So why has God given us another day? Like, what are we supposed to be doing in this world? And so the Parshas Noach is this profound message to us. It's a fascinating story. It's a fun story. The kids love Parshas Noach. I'm actually kind of shocked. I don't know what the weather's like. Those of you who are listening not in here in Southfield, but usually the custom is on Parshas Noach. If you look at the weather report, what's the weather report? Weather report is that it usually pours on Parshas Noach. So I saw it tomorrow here in Southfield. It's supposed to be beautiful. I'm not sure why that is. That's so we'll see if the weather report changes. But nonetheless. That's the question, for us is that in this fun parsha about this flood and the animals and this ark, why is the earth destroyed, and what is now that we emerge from the ark, what is now our responsibility? Okay, so that's something to think about. I think over Shabbos, as you're reading through the parsha, you know, to really think about those questions, and then again the role of the animals in terms of how the animals help support human beings doing what we're supposed to be doing here in this world. Okay, wish everyone a very wonderful Shabbos.